no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Fear is the mind killer, Kissel.
I
remember that. That's important to remember. Dune has really been helping me through not a trying time, but I've been having, you know, whatever, mental storms. And it's really important to remember to let fear pass through you, because when fear passes through you, you turn around, fear is gone, and there's no one left but you.
How is Dune, that's just called getting a divorce and living on a beach and becoming homeless. How is Dune helping you overcome fear? Isn't the entire thing a post-apocalyptic dystopian hell world that technically is everyone's living, breathing fear?
You could not be more ignorant as a person. It is about the making of a god, both outside and inside. In the people are all sort of like, there's a cynical edge and the idea of like, when does fake metaphysics become real? Like the idea of implanted rumor and all this going to become a real religion. But there's also real magic and energy underneath it.
Yeah, but the idea is that
even a god has problems. That's what it says.
The only way that you are having this manifest itself in your reality is trying to convince people I drink Bud Light Lime. That is the only thing that
I've already won
planned.
There.
Yes, I know you have won this.
And I was
battle.
Completely correct. I wasn't lying about it. You did spend a period of time trying a bunch of different beers, and you did it during Roundtable. And in one day, someone will find the audio clip because I know it is out there.
Oh, that's what
you're saying.
You think that's good for our careers to have our audience go mine Roundtable of Gentlemen? You think that's a good idea?
I don't know. I'm just saying, what helps you through trying times, Kissel?
Thinking about Puffin. You know what? I just get through them. I don't know what I do.
Wow.
I just, it's hard. Work out.
It is hard.
Yeah.
Do you work out? Yeah, I know you love hitting the weights. Pounds of spaghetti.
Yeah, buddy. No, probably, honestly, I mostly do just eat.
A beer's got 12 ounces.
It does, or 24 ounces, or 16 ounces, depending on the size of the can. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski. Stress-free. Yeah.
Stress-free.
Stress-free Henry Zebrowski.
But you know what I'm not free of? Knowledge about breast milk.
Oh, my God. Thanks, everyone, who sent us an email. Again, sidestories@gmail.com. My God, I learned so much about breast milk, bosoms in general, and I read the word swollen. About 30 times, and it was not because I was reading a muscle magazine.
The term when my breasts get rock hard, it's now like my body's so confused. And as I'm reading it, and then I explain it to Natalie, and I'm just like, all my whole body's like twisting around because I don't have one of those like pregnant fetishes. Like I'm not into that. I think it's, I mean, like, go for it. You go, girl. You know what I mean? If you want to cover the fetus inside of you with a bunch of strange men's cum, I don't know if that works like that. I don't know. Do it.
It does not work that way. It does not. It's a womb. There's a womb.
It still builds up all around it.
You know what? I can't speak to this. I don't know.
I just know it's not hitting it.
It's protected in a cocoon.
But it's getting splattered like a fucking Pollock painting.
Anyway.
But it doesn't matter. Again, anyways. But as I'm explaining this, Nellie's like, why does my downstairs get all turned around about this? And she's like, because you're a hopeless man whose penis is evil and is making you saying confused things. She's like, the breast milk and all that stuff is natural and normal and it's not sexual. It's good. It's just how you feed the baby.
Well,
and I'm like, but big rock hard breasts, that's what my penis gets.
Yes, of course. Well, I'm just
not
happy
like
that-
I get about it. I'm just saying in the terms of when I am aroused, the penis gets rock hard, but then you're just saying the breasts get rock hard because they go jam full of milk. And then I felt the gallon of milk in my refrigerator and I was like this. And she was like, we have to have separate time for like 40 minutes.
Well, yeah, because now you're putting nipples on the gallon of milk that's in your refrigerator. You're 2%. This is not
I'm
healthy.
I'm just all confused. I'm all confused.
I don't know. It is confusing stuff. I'm just happy that Natalie is treating you the same way that Ed Gein's mother treated him, where she's like, your penis is bad. And that's not going to lead you down a road, a dark, dark path of mayhem and madness.
My penis being bad is great for me as a husband.
Very good. So
now,
thank
I want to tell this story. Thank you guys for the information. I've learned so much and about how, because that woman who spread, this is all about the story last week where we covered in Relax Fit about a woman squirted her breast milk all over a crowd and everyone was like, oh, you know, it sounds like it was fun. But they apparently, I got one good suggestion is they think that that woman might have just been at the festival and had been drinking all day and then knows you can't give the booze filled milk to the baby and then your breasts get all full, right? They hit the F button on the thing and then so the milk kind of has to come out.
Well, this is from just, we can read one of these emails anyway. This one's just called Full Boobies, and it's from CF, we'll call her. And she said having breasts engorged with breast milk is incredibly painful.
I bet.
The chick at the party was just like, I got to unload the weight.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Like my dad used to unload the truck after he was done driving to Minneapolis from Wisconsin. Just like it. She says they become hard and heavy and begin to leak. Oh, Henry, I can see you're downstairs waking up now.
I'm not even trying to be awake. I don't want it to be awake because of this. I just want to be like, oh.
Sleepy. She says it's not like having to pee. It's more like having blue balls. I don't know how she knows what having blue balls feels like, but I'm assuming someone explained to her in great detail what she did to them. And the pain worsens as it initially is expelled. Did you hear this term from these emails? Let down?
No.
Let down, that is when it doesn't feel like much of anything, just not pain anymore. That's it. So if you have
like... Is that
like,
good?
I guess that's good. I don't exactly know what's perfect or anything like that when it comes to this. But the term let down, I read many, many times. And then there was another woman that wrote in, and she said she had so much breast milk, she didn't even know what to do with it. Like, yeah. Brewster's Millions. Remember that? When Richard Pryor had all that money, he's like, what do I even do with it?
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun, too.
Well, you know what? This has been a great breast milk corner. And listening to two almost 40-year-old men, well, nowhere near having children, don't want children, don't have children, not or don't plan on having children, having us talk about it, I'm certain is really, I guess, is enjoyable for some of the pregnant women that listen to us. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everyone.
Hey,
I'm so sorry.
You know what? Never apologize for learning, Henry, because that's what we're doing. We are learning.
We are. And also, another correction from fucking last week's side stories, where Ben Kissel happened to say the words Marcus Parks and Carolina are having a baby, which is a mistake. They just want to have a baby. So stop messaging Carolina saying congratulations on having a baby. For the love of God, stop doing that. It's a mistake. We made a mistake. I'm sorry.
At the Adult Swim Festival, Marcus looked at me. He's like, so Ben, do you remember what you talked about on Side Stories last week? I was like, oh man, you know, we record so much content. And it's like, usually I get it out and then I kind of like, whatever. He's like, so anyway, Carolina's been getting a lot of messages. Do you have any idea what those messages might be about? Like,
about how good, like, her, you know, her with the mads are?
Yeah,
or
movie
like,
signs,
like how beautiful she is? How she's got a funny new setup on YouTube?
No, Kissel, you dumb, drunk asshole. It's congratulations for being pregnant.
Ugh.
And I was like, and then I literally was like, I didn't tell anyone she was pregnant. He's like, I listened to the episode, and you said the sentence, Marcus and Carolina are having a baby. And I was
They're most likely to. I don't know. That's it. But it's not happening yet. It's not happening.
No.
And it hasn't been terminated. It's just not happening yet.
No, there's nothing. They're trying. They're gonna.
They might be. No, don't even say that. Because they don't even know. We don't even know what that means or what's even happened. Yeah, they're fucking. But I don't know what trying to have a baby even means. But of course they're fucking. They're newly married. They're having a good time.
But no babies
around anywhere.
I don't know. All I know is if you wanted to have an audible interpretation of what it sounds like to dig your hole even deeper, it was just the conversation Henry and I just had. I'm just sorry.
I don't know what we've done. I'm sorry to everyone.
Okay.
That's
a blanket apology that we have to do every morning. I'm sorry to everyone.
I'm sorry to everyone.
Every morning.
And now here comes a story. Another guy who needs to say I'm sorry. This comes from NOLA.com. A New Orleans man posed as handicapped to obtain home health care for sexual purposes, police say. Now, this is by Ramon Antonio Vargas and Matt Sledge. A New Orleans man who told investigators he enjoyed being treated as an infant pretended to have mental and physical disabilities in order to obtain a babysitter who unwittingly changed his diaper on several occasions over the course of more than a year. Speaking of breastfeeding.
This is a little bit ridiculous here, this guy. I mean, this is this is not good.
Yeah, Kissel. You know what?
Just do that. This reminds me of the deeper. This
deeper.
Guy, what is going on? What is happening with these people who need the butt wiped?
People just are complicated, Ben.
But you're
going to call you Benjamin.
Thank you, Benjamin.
People are complicated.
I know, but Henry, he's in New Orleans. You're telling me you can't throw a rock and find someone with a baby fetish in New Orleans. No. They're all hammered off of grenades.
He somehow Louis C.K.'d a baby fetish at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He presented them and surprised them with a baby fetish.
Ah.
His name is Rutledge Deus IV. He told investigators that he had suffered severe childhood trauma and being cared for like a baby brought him back to a time and place where he was at peace. So, good. What they say is that they come. I think it's bad, because according to court records, Deus, whose nickname is Rory, used the Urban Sitter app to hire a local college student to care for a non-existent 18-year-old brother named Corey. Deus told the 20-year-old woman that Corey needed someone to handle him with tough toddler gloves. Additionally,
Hold on a second. I've gone to those. I had to go get one of those at Babies R Us or whatever when my friend was pregnant way back in the day, a little gift card. I never saw the tough toddler glove section.
It's not actually for a child. It's for a man dressed as a toddler.
Ah.
Additionally, Deus, posing as Corey, sent text messages telling the woman he would require potty training, the changing of his diaper, and a child's booster car seat. The woman babysat the man she thought was Corey at least 10 times, during which she changed his soiled diapers.
Ugh.
He would become visibly aroused and suck on a baby's pacifier during the changes.
Oh my goodness.
The woman never met his purported older brother, who paid her through an Apple online payment app. I like how they put that on there. Apple helped.
I mean, honestly, thank you, Apple Wallet. That's exactly what people are using your product for.
But the babysitter became suspicious after Deus tried to use the Venmo app out of nowhere. Because she looked up the profile on the app and the sitter spotted a transaction between Deus and a second man. She searched the second man's list of Facebook friends and spotted a profile there under the name of Rory Deus. And she said that profile depicted the man she believed to be Corey. Can you imagine?
Oh my God, this is so disgusting.
Can you imagine the shit? Because he's in full character. I don't even know how this happened. But he's in there going like, me diaper changed it.
Yeah, but Henry,
we need it changed.
He's not in full character. He's like the baby from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He's smoking a cigar. He's on his cell phone. He's using Venmo. What toddler uses Venmo?
No, they said that they found him. He had a go-between. They said that he was mentally handicapped and he couldn't control his own body. And so she'd go in there. It's like how he's in there. But I don't know how this kind of worked out. There seemed a lot of yada, yada, yadas in there. But she walked in because she was a part of a healthcare association. She goes in. She's a full-grown man going like, me making the pudding tonight. Me made so much pudding today. Me thinks it's my beef stroganoff.
Well,
and
I don't
she's
think
just
he's,
like,
he's not
oh,
Forrest Gump.
Corey. I don't know. I don't know what he sounded like. I'm just making up a character, okay? And so she goes there to clean up his full adult dump.
Ugh.
And when she pulls it off of him, his penis is rock hard, and he's giving her like a wink. Like he's giving her like, thank you. Oh, it is a tip for you, isn't it? You know what I mean?
So this is, I mean, because I don't care. I watched Real Sex. There's a lot of baby fetishes out there. A lot of big diapers happening. I understand.
Do whatever
people.
You want.
It's got to be more for this person. It's got to be more the bait and switch. I mean, because now this has gone from sexual fetish to extreme crime and of a sexual nature.
Yes, because sexual assault.
Yeah, this woman.
Oh, yeah, man. It seems like.
So
it's
what's
like,
he being charged with now?
He got charged with sexual assault, and they also found crystal meth in a clear glass pipe in his home, which seems to be a little bit of the motivation.
Maybe
because it gave him the confidence boost.
Maybe he's from South Dakota. Did you see the new South Dakota ad campaign?
Yes.
We're on meth. And it's like, that's the problem. But at no point were they like, we're trying to solve the problem. No, we're just letting you know.
We know. Yeah. Brooks Whelan had a very funny tweet that he said. He's like, I bought this shirt in fucking a Des Moines Spencer's in 2003, which is fucking hilarious.
Brooks Whelan, a very funny comedian.
But these guys, oh my God, sexual battery and human trafficking is what he's been ordered with. Is what he's being accused of, or I don't know how you put that term.
Also,
that's
isn't
the charges.
Like, you're this poor girl, 20 years old, obviously a good person. No 20-year-old I ever hung out with were like, I'm going to skip the party. I've got to go take care of people who defecate in their diapers and their 40s.
She's a good person.
Shouldn't the facility that sent her there, the company that was like, you know, hey, we found one for you. Do you want to go help this person? They have a mental handicap they need to be taken care of. Shouldn't they vet him a little bit?
I don't know.
Like, go over to the house and just be like, let me see your Venmo. Like, who's your favorite sports team? And if he says, like, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers, you'd be like, okay, well, that's a baseball team.
He's obviously following, like, the over-unders. Like, he's got some kind of sports betting book.
Yeah,
if he goes, like, I like the ice cream man, then you know, oh, we got to be cleaning this guy's diaper.
Right. I just feel like, she got totally set up here. And she went
there. Yeah, she got set up. Yes.
Ten times. That's
really
like a lot of times.
Because also, I think mental handicappery has many gradients, right? And there are people that are like, maybe it's something about not being able to, maybe they're super smart and they can play any piano song if you play them a piano song and they can play it right back and you're like, oh, this guy's a genius.
Well,
but it turns out
sure.
He can't clean his own dump. You know what I mean? But it does that. What does that make him? Where it makes him essentially Mel Gibson for a man without a face, but he can't wipe his own dump, right?
Well, that doesn't. I mean, that's not mutual. Nor could Stephen Hawking. I mean, you know, he needed.
He
help.
Can't wipe his own dump. Is he a mentee? Can you say
wrong?
That word?
No, you cannot say that word. I don't know what
handicapped.
What's the proper term?
Mentally handicapped.
Is that it? Still,
I'm sorry to everybody.
So this guy. I guess when he goes to prison, because he probably needs to be in prison.
He needs a redo.
He needs the whole thing. But just because you can't wipe your own butt, that has nothing to do with your brain. Your brain could be very high functioning. That's physical.
You don't have any arms? I guess you can use like a stump or something. I think that they do something like that. Like, don't they have a mechanism for people with no arms where there's kind of like a stand with toilet paper at the end of it that they could just rub their butt on?
I think that's what they used to do in the Roman Colosseums.
Or do they have, I guess they have hooks.
I don't, I think they,
I'm sorry
what,
to everyone.
Whatever it is. This man, he doesn't need a nurse. He needs a corrections officer to go in there. And take care of business. Maybe he'll find a celly that has a baby fetish. If you got a baby fetish, there just has to be websites that you can go to, get connected with someone who wants to be mommy or daddy, I suppose, and you'll find love.
Unfortunately, I assume that a part of the fetish is the surprise. It's the me, not a baby. Like, it's that edge of it, which is why he's doing this, where he could have done it. Or if you just went to some kind of Stella Adler acting work where he really could have understood the baby part of him or found a desperate person to be with that would be with you and with your baby fetish. Mm. But technically, your celly would need to have a nanny fetish.
Uh-huh. Well, there has to be something going on there that is consensual. All right. Well, that guy's going to go to jail. How much time is he looking at?
They didn't say.
They don't say, but it should be a pretty good amount of time because
yeah, I think it's like
ruined
up to,
that
oh,
poor
I think
girl.
He, it's like 6 months. That's a long time.
That's it?
I don't know.
For being a fake baby? If I touch one person's Duke that I do not have to. If I found out Puffin, was able to take a bag and pick up his own poop, and I saw him do it one day, I'd be like, I cannot believe the level of mistrust, the abuse. The only reason I pick up his poop and I cheer him for his poops is because I know he can't physically do it. But if I found out he's walking on two legs.
You come home early from one thing and you find Puffin like up on two legs at the stove.
Yes.
Making hamburger helper.
Like, what? Puffin?
You could have been cooking for me this whole time?
Oh my God. He and Natalia show up, the 35-year-old dwarf.
I tell you what, though, if I ended up touching somebody's Duke, if I was a nurse and I showed up and I was wiping you and you got hard and it didn't turn out that you were in a mentee, I tell you what.
I don't think you can say that. Mental handicap.
I'm sorry to everyone.
There we go.
But what I would do is I wouldn't be guilty of fucking murder because I would flip out.
Yeah, that's why you're not a nurse.
Yeah, I'm not a nurse. No nurses kid. Work are the hardest working human beings yes. that live.
I agree, and we've said
Natalie's
it before.
Mom's a nurse. Shout out to the people in Natalie's mom's hospital that all work and listen to the show. What's going on, guys? Keep doing the hard work out there, keeping people alive.
Yeah, well, they're gonna love your recent assessment on certain
I'm
people's
sorry
conditions.
To everyone.
There you go. Now you're getting it. No, nurses are they are doing the work that is so needed, and they're taking care of the parents. That children throw away, they're not allowed to throw them away
because parents
it's their
are dead
jobs to keep them. No, parents are very good. I mean,
they can be.
Yeah, that depends. That's a toss up. Okay, well, let's move on here a little bit. Let's talk about hackers. You know, Henry, I always fantasized about being a hacker, but then I realized you got to be so smart.
You can't get your fingers are too big to hit the keys specifically enough fast enough to hack into the mainframe.
Oh my God, I know. I was trying to tweet about the documentary Hail Yourself America, and I put it on Twitter, and I didn't hit www, I hit wwe.hailyourselfamerica.com, and then everyone made fun of me. And it was an autocorrect by Twitter because they thought I was talking about wrestling instead of plugging my work that I try so hard on.
Have you looked at getting like keyboards with bigger letters on them like they do for people who have only nubs?
Not yet. I'm going to wait until the diabetes takes my fingers.
Yeah, buddy, get that government keyboard, man. But no, hackers in my mind, when I hear the term hackers, I just think of Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Always. And then Dennis Miller from The Net.
Sure, and then the blind guy, you're thinking of sneakers. Sneakers.
Oh, was that's Robert Redford.
Huh. Phineas Fisher, he offers a $100,000 bounty to hack banks and oil companies. This is an article. It's coming in from Vice. This is their motherboard thing. Very, very exciting. He's a vigilante hacker known for his hits on surveillance companies. He's launching a new kind of bug bounty to reward hacktivists who do public interest hacks and leaks. This guy's name, Phineas Fisher. I think that's just what he's known as because no parents would actually name their child Phineas Fisher because
you don't know. People are bored.
That's true. So he published a manifesto on Friday, and how exciting it is to live in a world where you can publish a manifesto in your underwear, while wearing black socks, mustard stains all over your shirt. You can be like the supervillain you want to be online while looking like the super nerd you are in real life. I love the world.
That's the only way manifestos are written. Manifestos are never written. I mean, honestly, but I'm the opposite. I kind of have this more Satanist principle. If I'm going to do something truly evil, when I finally decide to let the all world know about my pain, what I will do is don my Phantom of the Opera mask, have a cloak, and then use that to write it out with a quill. I think presentation is incredibly important.
Yeah, but if you write it with a quill, you're just going to be writing on your television or your computer screen.
I'll go to Michael's.
Yeah, but how are you going to get one quill? You're going to write a million?
I photocopy it. Xerox. Full costume. I go to Kinko's, and I just run the manifesto the old school way, and people being like, are you making copies of your manifesto? Yes, citizen. Well,
hurry up, because I got to take a photocopy of my butt.
What? That's illegal at Kinko's now. That's sexual assault.
Okay, here it is. So the post in the manifesto by Phineas Fisher, he says, I'm going to give $100,000 in what he called the Hacktivist Bug Hunting Program. The idea is to pay other hackers who carry out politically motivated hacks against companies that would lead to disclosure of documents in the public interest. And the hacker said he will pay everyone in cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin or Monero, which sounds extremely fun. Is an example of targets the hacker mentioned mining and livestock companies in South America, Israeli spyware vendor NSO Group, and oil company Halliburton. This is one of those things where I know it's wrong. I know you're not supposed to be like stealing all this private information, but can you imagine if we got the actual brains, the actual content inside of the brains of the people in Halliburton?
The beauty of the internet for me is what I always thought was going to happen, especially when the first uprising of Anonymous, was that there would be kind of more of this. This kind of what we were promised in the movies of the 1990s. These massive movements of hackers doing all this kind of shit. Well, obviously, it's difficult because innocent people will, in the line of this, it's like, unfortunately, like Halliburton, there's still temps and like admins that are not necessarily the evil people that are involved with Halliburton. They just have a job. And in America, unfortunately, if you don't have a steady source of income because of the way our country works, capitalistic system, you're fucking gonna be fucked if you don't have money coming in. So you take whatever job's available, and we've been taught from a very early age you need to be super thankful for whatever work you can get, no matter how crooked and fucked up it is. But that being said, I don't think they necessarily need their lives ruined. But at the same time, fucking, you know, the internet's just fucking free, man. The internet's a gigantic, crazy ocean of bullshit. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, it's getting cracked down on a regular basis. Phineas Fisher wrote this in the manifesto. He says, hacking to obtain and leak documents with public interest is one of the best ways for hackers to use their abilities to benefit society. He goes on to say, I'm not trying to make anyone rich. I'm just trying to provide enough funds so that hackers can make a decent living doing a good job. And then I'm assuming they can buy Mountain do and they can buy Snickers. I don't know what hackers really do with their lives. They could also be svelte, very handsome people.
I think they've been pushing back. I think hackers are kind of doing like what Jack from Twitter kind of does, and they're actually getting more into fitness in order to obliterate the stereotype that hackers look like me. You know what I mean? Essentially, right. They're getting out there. I think they're getting jacked and they're eating healthier because they know for a fact. I think some of them probably, you know, they indulge in the do.
Well, you do have to stay awake, and it is very...
You got to have a cheat day.
Of course, it's very clear. So most bug bounty programs are run by companies to encourage security researchers to find bugs in their software, because that's what's going to end up happening here, perhaps. A lot of these hackers end up actually improving the security of the places that they hack, and then the hackers got to go around like super viruses. The way that they're like, ooh, yes, you've tried to kill me with your vaccines. I don't think so. Polio 2.0. I'm back, baby.
The U.S. government oftentimes will hire people that hacked them. Like when they get out of jail, they hire them and then they use them for the business. They help them go, help us secure all of our bullshit. Help you make sure that people like you can't get in. I mean, I don't know, because it's just one of those. How do you apply morality and laws to what is essentially free-flowing the subconscious? Like, the internet is just a giant amorphous thing that is growing and changing like the ocean, like all of these. It is a whole, and it's just our thoughts that kind of constantly mutating it and moving it. How do you say what's white and what's right and what's wrong on a thing that's just all of our brains uploaded onto one fucking tube?
So Phineas Fisher, he's one of the most influential and well-known hacktivists since the days of Anonymous and LulzSec. In 2014, the hacker stole internal data from the German surveillance vendor Gamma Corp, which makes the controversial spyware FinFisher, which we were talking about, I believe, when it comes to facial recognition. A year later, Phineas Fisher came back and broke into the servers of the hacking team. He hit a Spanish police union, Turkey's ruling party in 2016. It seems like, yes, I know it's not necessarily quote-unquote right, but it seems like he does have a moral code, which I think is something that a Julian Assange type lost. I think as soon as Julian Assange sort of became a puppet of the Russians, it all kind of fell apart because everyone will always end up having a boss. You know, everyone. I mean, yes. I feel the same thing with Edward Snowden. If Edward Snowden was not in Russia being protected right now, I would love the information that he would be digging up on the Kremlin. But You can't.
No, I want to know. Yeah. I want to know what he's doing. But Edward Snowden, actually, he came out and he said that he checked to see if the CIA had any documents about aliens, and they did not. But I do believe the reason why that is true, if that is, if there are, I am still not sure where I'm at with the idea of like covert organizations housing actual physical aliens, like nuts and bolts crafts and shit like that. But again, I believe all of that stuff would be outsourced to private companies. I think that there is folds within folds that would be outside of the main dome of the CIA, so that essentially the CIA has plausible deniability no matter what.
Folds within folds. Sounds like you're describing our bodies on a...
Yeah! Do it! Finish it!
Dating site.
Yeah, buddy!
Phineas Fisher goes on to say, I think hacking is a powerful tool, and hacktivism has only been used to a fraction of its potential, and a little investment can help to develop that. The golden years of hacktivism are yet to come. So, there you go.
I just want a hacker to break into the mainframe and send me some of that Popeye's chicken sandwiches in my house for free.
Yeah, I agree. Phineas Fisher says he says, quote, I robbed a bank and gave the money away. Computer hacking is a powerful tool to fight economic inequality. Anyway, it's quite interesting what's going on there. You can read this article. You can finish it up. And, he finishes up with sort of saying the global financial elite are oppressors, not victims. Hacking that elite and returning the tiniest fraction of the wealth that they've stolen doesn't make them victims. He finishes by saying it is cybercrime. It is also activism. It's motivated by a desire for social change. I'm not personally profiting or benefiting from it. So this guy, despite the fact that this week's Hero of the Week is a little bit goofier, because, you know, that's how I like to do it. But this guy, in his own mind, is also a hero. And if he can stay true to his original intention, I think it's good to keep these wealthy-ass institutions on their toes and let them know we're watching.
My feeling is neutral. I do believe that we are headed towards a sci-fi future. Like, again, this is all of these weird things that are just pushing us towards the future, man. This is the kind of stuff that we've been reading about, like since like Snow Crash.
This is the kind of stuff that you've been reading about. This is the kind of stuff I've been screaming about. This is you. See, you're more comfortable. The nice thing is, when you're reading your Dunes now, I do think you are more prepared, just with the amount of nerd content you've consumed your entire life.
You know what it is? I'm more comfortable with the chaos that is coming. I feel I'm just more comfortable with the idea of entertaining these ideas and letting them kind of go in and out of my mind, and not necessarily casting judgment immediately upon them, and more so looking at and understanding that the flow of time will change all things. Time is the great equalizer.
But isn't that, thank you, bumper sticker. But isn't that
coexist?
Coexist. It's always the exact same white woman that just wants to coexist.
That's it.
But isn't that the scary part though? You're the frog. You've been heating up your own pot. You're already getting used to this. I'm the kind of guy, I hear the story about the dude who shot down the drone, I think in Wyoming, because the dude who operated it was trying to spy on his daughters in the backyard. He shot it down with a shotgun.
That's different.
You're gonna take these drones down.
That's again. But it's about case by case, all right? Yes, is it bad to photograph little girls in a backyard with their drone? Absolutely. Is it wrong to use drones to scare a bunch of industry professionals that said no to me from various projects? No. That is activism. That is activism, and I'm getting to the center of it. But I think we need to be more comfortable with grays. That if we're desperate for absolutes, that's what this betrays, this idea that we need some kind of concrete reality, when actually it's all whip. It is super wiggly, my friend. And it's only getting more wiggly because the internet is showing more and more of what is real and what is fake. I do not know. All the deepfakes coming out, we're going to have to really keep our heads on a swivel as a society and decide what is real and what is important for us and our various families and social networks.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be getting whiplash with all the swiveling they'll be doing. But
you got to swivel, man. And this is important. You know what? It's a good exercise for that. It's getting one of those. Have you ever seen at the gym? They got the like that like softball thing.
I've seen it. I played sports. You've been going to the gym for 16 months. I've been in a gym 1,000 times more than you. I've had a fat 16 months. And you said, I'm going to get in shape 16 months. You are not. Yes, I've seen the balls.
But the idea of, it's got like a flat plank on the top of it, and you can stand on it and get your little stabilizing muscles going. Natalie has this springboard in this house that she uses all the time, and she literally say, it looks like a Mario Brothers like springboard that you jump on, and she stands on it, and she's like, this is exercising. I was like, what, how? And she's like, you stand on it, and you try to balance on it. And I was like, that's just standing on a thing. She's like, no, 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 you're strengthening all your stabilizing muscles. And that's what's important, because you're going to need a lot of stabilizing muscles in 2020.
Well, it sounds like you are just a few more brain cells away from wearing a diaper and having to get wiped.
I will not lie about it.
No, you definitely won't. No, I will
not be able to wipe.
Yes, and I will go over and be like, no, that is... I saw him when we had the last shot of Jameson that he will ever have in his life, when his eyes crossed and never uncrossed. It's going to happen to all of us.
I've been watching this story about the women with a woman with 2,500 personalities in Australia.
Ho!
Look this up. It's a 60 Minutes Australia special that was about a woman that she, oh my God, she was so brutally assaulted by her own father from the age of 2 throughout her entire childhood, that her brain split, she split herself into 2,500 different personalities, which she's now been fully, she's fully diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder. It's crazy, because you watch this shit and like all the cops kind of say the same thing, because she filled out this binder of the list of crimes. She ended up going to law school through her mental illness. She went to law school, passed the bar in order to help get her father finally arrested for these crimes. And now he's in prison.
Oh, my
and
God.
Because of the abuse, she ended up having like photographic memory and said all of this horrible shit. And all the cops kind of said the same thing, where they're like, I don't know how I felt about multiple personalities. But then when you hear what she went through, you're like, all right. I mean, somebody's got to do something. Your brain's got to do something to fix it. And so she goes through these characters. Like, she plays. I was like, I was envious, because she can really just become a different person. Her eyes kind of flutter, and then she becomes a little girl, and then she becomes a teenager, and she becomes all this stuff. It's really, really intense.
Well, I don't know if jealous is the right word. Richard Haynes is only in your isolated world of actor. Your actor's mind has
I'm sorry
changed.
To everyone.
Richard Haynes, that was her, I guess, is still technically her father, but indeed he is no man nor dad at all. He's 74 years old. He got sentenced to 45 years in jail. She was the only one to testify at the trial, but evidently not really, because out of her came six different personalities, and she broke down. She was raped and tortured and just everything.
It's so terrible, man.
So disgusting.
It is just like, I don't even want to say it. There's like stuff where she literally had to have a permanent colostomy bag because of all the horrible abuse that she went through.
God.
Like, it's not good. It is not good. And they said that people like quit. Two guys quit the police force listening to her story.
Oh, they just couldn't take it.
Yeah. They were like,
damn,
what the fuck? It was so bad.
Jeez. She says, my dad's abuse was calculated and it was planned. It was deliberate and he enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, it was bad, dude.
Yeah, he heard me beg him to stop. He heard me cry. He saw pain and terror was inflicted upon me. He saw blood and physical damage he caused. And the next day, he chose to do it all again. This man, thank God she got justice. But I really hope she can try to work, just get it down to 10. If she can get the 2,500 personalities down to 10, we'll be like, all right.
Yeah, because then that's just me.
Oh, good
grief. You know what? It's a lot, man. But it's one of those where I've done some research into DID and try to figure out, like, you know, like, it is a immensely complex. It's a thing that they are still kind of even wrapping their minds around. They'd be like, it's in terms of the medical community is how to diagnose it.
That is. Anyway, check out this story. That's very interesting. And if you have any insight on that, this is definitely one that we can go to the experts on. Let us know. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Is this something that is common when it comes to extreme childhood trauma, when it comes to extreme abuse? Do people sort of fraction fracture their own brain. So she's saying here that the person that he would abuse, she sort of had a different character for that moment in time.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, she had ones that, like, moved to her nose because apparently her dad smelled so bad. Like, he was just kind of like, he just let himself, like, he didn't shower, he didn't bathe. And so a personality would come through her nose and take the smells away. And then she had personalities that would grow up to take over her ears and take away the sounds of all of the things happening to her. Very brutal stuff.
Yes, this is what she told BBC. She said, she suffered every minute of dad's abuse, and when he abused me, his daughter Jenny, he was actually abusing Symphony. That was the name of the, I guess, personality that she created.
It's the main personality that she uses.
Oh my God, what a...
No, it's very intense, man. It's very, very interesting. And obviously, it's also highly controversial because many people feel many different things about even the concept of DID. So if you are a psychologist, because we love hearing from our actual medical community, yes, like people who listen to our show that can illuminate us even more so about these things.
Please.
I love reading, but this is endlessly fascinating.
It's fascinating and sad. And she said, hello, I'm Symphony. Jenny, this is like her when she would go into or call on this other personality. She said, hello, I'm Symphony. Jenny's gotten into a pickle. I'll come tell you all about this if you don't mind. She said that in a rapid outburst. Symphony's voice is higher, her tone brighter, more girlish and breathless. We talked for 15 minutes and her microscopic recollection of decades-old events around daddy's nastiness is astounding. That's according to this article here. So this is a quote from Symphony. What I did was I took everything I thought was precious about me, everything important and lovely, and hid it from daddy so that when he abused me, he wasn't abusing a thinking human being. That's what Symphony
Jesus
said
Christ.
When she was on the stand. So that is... Oh,
it's very heavy.
God.
It's
very
just, it's
heavy.
One of those where, like, I know some of us do because it's like, it's one of those where get heavy with it if you want to. It's very interesting.
Yes. And Haynes, or whatever, the person that created her, I guess, he faced 367 charges. So yep. Because he's so old, it's obviously a death sentence. But seems to me like he could have gotten, even if he's 79, but 45 years doesn't even seem enough for someone like this. This is unreal.
No, he'll get his in jail as well. Kissel, do you want to do Hero of the Week?
Should we do Hero of the Week?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this Hero of the Week, first of all, this song comes in from Steve Pascheka, a.k.a. Skulk the Hulking, and I got to say, this is one of my faves.
Hero of the Week. Hero!
There it is, Hero.
Yeah, Skulk, man. Man, we used to get sweaty with Skulk back in the day. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about dancing.
Well, I don't know what you guys did because I was thinking about sex.
You having sex with him?
No, I did not. No, no. So this week's Hero of the Week is a dude named Cody Bonderchuk. Who doesn't love Cody Bonderchuk?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe his family doesn't love him, but we like him.
I don't know. He is from Alberta in Canada, and he worked at McDonald's. He worked at McDonald's for 2.5 years, and this is what he admitted to on Twitter. He said, quote, I worked at McDonald's for 2.5 years, and I put 11 nuggets in almost every piece of 10, in almost every 10 piece I made.
Weren't you fired for this?
Not at McDonald's. I never worked at McDonald's. I've only consumed their food, and it's nice to have the distance from the kitchen when I'm there. I worked at Taco Bell, and yes, I was fired. Because I would.
But weren't you fired because of a crime very similar to this?
It's not a crime to be a hero, Henry. But I would do the double pump of sour cream. I would do more cheese. I would just stuff the chalupa. This is pre-chalupa. No, I remember when the chalupa came out. Oh, my. But wow. I used to just jam it. This was a grilled stuffed burrito. I know how to make a grilled stuffed burrito. I would just jack these things so full of food. And then this owner, the owner of the Taco Bell, he tried to explain, this guy from Texas, he was like, overhead, we have a bunch of overhead, like we have a lot of products. And then he
tried to— Yeah, they have to buy the food. They have to it's like plan for a certain amount of food because they're going to serve it a certain amount.
Yeah, because then they were getting mad at me.
They had to pre-order it.
Yeah, because there was like, Kissel, every time you do a shift, like, you're messing up like a whole bunch of stuff because you're taking too much from everything. And then, you know, so we're actually, you're actually losing us money when you make a burrito. It's costing us more than it costs to buy it. And I was like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I do understand that you, I mean, I do believe that he is doing good. This is another sort of, I would almost say, Robin Hood-esque.
It is.
Type caper. But there are victims as well.
There is McDonald's. You think the Hamburglar? No, I don't think so.
No, I actually think that it's man, because when you get to the end of that 10, and you could always go for one more.
Always. My God, of course. No, there's something about just getting anything for free. Even when you buy something off of television and it's a total piece of shit. You know, like when I got my bug assault, that's B-U-G-A salt. It's a salt gun that you shoot bugs with. And it's useless. It's totally, completely meaningless. But you know what I got for free when I bought this bug assault gun?
What?
Another bug assault gun.
That doesn't make any sense.
No. It's useless. It is a piece of garbage. But I was like, I can get two of them. So I'm taking it.
Yeah. That is just, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you need two?
Because then you can walk around your apartment with double barrels, scare your dog a little bit. Cody Bunderchuck.
You're shooting a puffin with
no,
it?
No, I would never shoot a puffin with it. It hurts.
No, you no, never
you
do
shot
that.
At me with it. You belted me
I
with
did
it.
You. You got it.
That's why I got two of them, so we could have wars. Maybe that's also why I got the rat, because apparently they love salt, and then my apartment was covered in it for so long, but now the rat's gone. So Cody Bunderchuck.
Is Puffin eating the salt?
No, Puffin does not eat. No, Puffin eats like soap.
But is he licking up the salt?
No, he's so full. He's good. He had Taco Bell the other day. It was great. Cody Bunderchuck, thank you for what you do. I wish you were still working at McDonald's because I would have stopped by and paid you a visit. Although, to be fair, I did have the chicken nuggets recently because McDonald's was on Uber Eats. I went a little bit crazy. Again, this is my unhealthy year. Next year, I'm going to get in very good shape. But I don't know what happened to them. They don't really. Have you had one recently?
What?
A chicken nugget. A chicken McNugget.
Yeah, man. They're awful. They're really, really bad. They're really, really bad. It's just fucking sinew.
It's weird. I remember them tasting like something when I was a kid.
I don't know if this is because I think little kids' palates are different. Hmm. You're an adult now and you've had actual chicken. It's just goop poured into a weird. It's not good.
No.
It's not good.
And like the,
no, I honestly, Taco Bell holds up.
You know what? Taco Bell does hold up.
I had a Whopper the other day. It was not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going Burger King,
but
I'm going to get
great.
The chicken sandwich. No, it's
yeah,
really
I get the chicken. Is. The only problem with the chicken sandwich is always slathered with the mayo.
Yeah, buddy. That's the whole
I
point.
I know. I do like it, though. I do fucking like it. The dirty part of me.
There's also heroes working at Burger King, and they bring that spatula up, and the way they rub that mayo on there, simple, clean. Oh, very nice.
Oh, God.
All right. Do we want to do... Do you have any emails that you would like to read from any listeners
I do.
Or
let me read some of these emails. We got one according to... So this is from... I really like this. This comes from R. Alexa recording and police investigation. Mm-hmm. This is a response to what we were talking about last week about Alexa. I am a violent crime detective in Florida. I can shed some light on the Alexa issue for you. The Alexa device records 24/7. It's always an open channel. That's why you will always have discussions in the house and get Amazon suggestions and Facebook suggestions for items and things that you have been discussing. As far as recovering the recordings, you need a search warrant signed by a judge, which means you need probable cause to believe the device was in the area of the crime and active at the time that the crime occurred. You also need to be specific about the time frame of the incident, the crime, and have a very narrow time window for the warrant, as you're only entitled to the time frame surrounding the crime. Okay. It's extremely hard to get the warrant here in Florida, as the level of proof you need to prove that the device was actually on and operating at the time of the incident. I, after learning this, removed the devices from my home. I had three, including one in my grandkids' room for them to dance to kids' music. I hope I shed some light on this for you. Again, this is only applicable in Florida, but I'm sure the level of proof is the same across the U.S.
I love it. And we also have one from a woman who works in development. She says, Henry, you were absolutely correct on the last on the last Relaxed Fit episode, Alexa is indeed always on. She says, I think it's real bad. Your phone is basically always listening as well when it comes to Siri. So you're walking around with a bug in your pocket like we're Richard frickin' Nixon.
So go ahead and friggin', I mean, subscribe to us on Spotify phone. That's what I'm going to start doing. Start yelling at my random things, random recording things.
I love it. But she does say a little tip in this email. She says, a little tip from a paranoid techie. She says, log into your Google account, go to manage account, go to data and personalization on the left, then check your web and app activity. There's a checkbox including audio and voice recordings. You should uncheck that. But I am so untech savvy that I don't even know how to do that.
We'll get you through. We'll guide you through.
Great.
Here's a disgusting story. I heard this from my buddy who works as a firefighter outside of Dallas a few weeks ago. His coworker's first day on the job was the responder for this one. This lady was paralyzed from the waist down from a previous injury. Last night was her wedding and she gets super drunk. Her new husband is passed out. While attempting to get from her wheelchair to the bed, she falls and breaks her leg and her ankle bone is sticking out.
Oh.
Whatever, she's paralyzed, can't feel it, and she ends up passing out on the floor. She wakes up to the sound of a dog vomiting.
Oh, no.
Her dog had found the exposed bone and through the night managed to eat her entire fucking foot off.
Whoa!
She woke up to the dog vomiting up her foot.
Oh, what did this guy do for a living?
First responder is an EMT or, I guess, a firefighter.
Oh, my.
It turns my stomach.
God, you know,
that is bad.
The dogs, they are man's best friend, but if that is the appeal of a bone,
ugh.
You know, the dog is like, I don't
want
to be doing
this. That's why I'm thankful Wendy's got a little mouth, so you can't chew on bones.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's another question we had about buying cemetery plots and backyard burials. I thought it was very interesting. I'm a funeral director / embalmer for Kansas City, Kansas, and just listened to the Relax Fit Finders episode. I may have some insight on how purchasing cemetery plots work. It wasn't far off to say that buying a plot is like a lease. Essentially, the person or group of people who own a cemetery also own all of the land and within that property dedicated to grave spaces. When a person buys a cemetery plot, they pay a one-time fee to a cemetery to use that plot for their family member.
Uh-huh.
Although the property is deeded to them, the deed is more or less just proof that the cemetery has been paid by the owner for its use. We actually get a lot of shit at work from people who come and upset that decorations are removed. In some cases, I can see why. However, I can also say that trying to mow around 10,000 graves, that's around as many as we have, meticulously because all of them are decorated, is virtually impossible to do if we want to keep the cemetery looking like anything other than a sea of graves. We do exceptions to our rule on holidays like Memorial Day and Veterans Day, but generally if flowers and other decorations aren't in a vase, they get tossed. A lot of times we call the family. On burying people in backyards, you can do that as long as the city you live in doesn't have an ordinance against it. In my small town growing up, it wasn't completely uncommon for people to be buried on a designated plot of their farmland as long as it was outside the city limits.
Oh, that makes
sense. Also, grave prices are insane. They're very insane.
I mean, yeah, if you got a farmland, you got a couple hundred acres, 50 acres, but, you know, that makes a little bit more sense. Very interesting.
Very interesting. That's what I have for this time. I just love learning. I love learning from y'all. It's so fucking cool when experts actually send us the answers to the stupid questions that we have in the show. It's pretty wonderful.
And I love people that work in the civil service sector because they have so much insight. My boy Will, who is a bartender at Skinny Dennis, he's also a firefighter. And he was telling me when he was an EMT, the safest people in a dangerous area and like a housing project that is extremely violent, the safest people are Mormons, the Mormons that walk after midnight because they're just, and Chinese delivery drivers. Because he told me one time he showed up and a Chinese delivery driver had been delivery person had been beaten up and robbed, and the community then found the person that did it, and it was not good for them because the Chinese restaurants all get together, and if that happens, they don't get Chinese food delivered for a month.
Whoa.
So they're like, he's like, there's two safe people at all times, Chinese delivery drivers and Mormons. So I thought
that's
that was kind of
awesome. That's very interesting.
If I found out that someone in my building beat up the dude that delivers my Taco Bell for Uber Eats, and then Taco Bell was like, oh, no,
furious.
We're not doing that anymore.
I would be furious.
It's over for you.
That is a sacred. That is a sacred agreement.
That is.
I need. We have to keep this. Like again, they need to be treated more properly. They need to make more money.
I agree. I'm doing. I do 22%. That's what I do with the tips.
That's a good. Honestly, I do 22% too.
But of course, tip whatever you can because a
gotta
little
do
bit
it
goes a long way.
A little does.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we are so excited to see you in Northampton, in Buffalo, and Portland, Maine. Cannot wait to go and see you all in the Pacific. No, not the Pacific. We're just in the Northeast. I'm used to yes saying a Pacific Northwest. I was thinking Portland, but this is in the Northeast. Nothing Pacific about
it. No, we're going
to
New England. We're going to New England.
Yes, indeed. Can't wait.
You don't want to go up there. Now, people are dead up now. Sometimes dead is better. That's what I'll be saying all the time in Maine.
That's your John F. Kennedy impression. That's very good.
No. That's the guy from fucking Pet Cemetery.
Ah.
Sometimes dead is better.
Very good. All right, everyone. We will see you on the road.
All right. Live. L-I-V. E, it's a four-letter word.
Yes, it is.
Meaning to get up and go to work. That's all it is. That's all living is. You gotta laugh. Laugh because you're at work. And you know for a fact that, you know, you're choosing to not make these people victims of your violence. And that's important to remember.
Very
you're
important.
You're choosing to not hurt anybody. And they should be thanking you for
they
it.
They should be thanking you every single day. As we said, every day we say, sorry world. I don't know what
I'm
for.
I'm so sorry for everything.
They need to be thanking every single employee needs to be thanked on a regular basis.
And you gotta love your family for 5 minutes a day. You know what I mean? Just make sure
you're saying
I know, to everyone. Make sure you love your family for 5 minutes and just remember again that you love your family for 5 minutes. My family's great. I love my wife and I love Wendy, but it's different. My home
is
sacred.
Do you want to do that? Do you call your mother every day and say you love her for 5 minutes a day?
Oh my god. Oh my god. All right,
everyone. Thank you all so much for listening.
I'm sorry for everything.
There we go. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me, god damn it.
Someone's got to.
And it can't just be me all the time.
No.